Amen. If you will, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelations. We're going to look at two different places in the Bible. We're going to look at Revelation 2. We're going to look at verse 11. And then for our second, we're going to look at Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. So turn to Revelation 2:11, 20:14, and 20:15. Now, as we read the Word of God, it says, "He that hath an ear," this is Revelation 2:11, "let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Revelations 20:14 tells us what that death is. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This morning I'm going to preach on a place called hell. Three times before that I can remember have I preached on hell specifically from this pulpit. Hell is not a popular thing in today's society to preach on. In fact, there's a lot of people that do not admit that there is a heaven or that there is a hell. But I'll say this, the Bible has much to say about hell. Wednesday night, for the ones that were here, I gave some disturbing statistics on how many people hold to the worldview that there is no hell. These people believe that there is no hell, and some of these people profess to be Christians. That's what gets to me. If there is no hell, why do you need to get saved? Hell is not a popular thing. They believe that you cannot believe in a literal heaven or hell. These are people who profess to be Christians. These are our children who are going off to liberal colleges, going off to liberal schools. And we did a whole Sunday school class this morning on children. And being taught Islam instead of Christianity. They're taught atheism instead of the Bible. People, we need to get to work because the worldview we hold, and this is very disturbing to me, the worldview that we hold at the age of 13 is probably the worldview that we will die with. Yeah. Society is going after our children. Our children at the age of 4 years old are being taught that it's all right for little girls to want to be boys and boys to be little girls. That's strictly against the Word of God. They're being taught that same-sex marriage is okay when it is not. They're being taught that other religions prevail over Christianity, and it is not. It's important to take our children and grandchildren to a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church. It is important more than that that we train them at home. Why? Because hell is a real place. As I preach on hell this morning, I want to make it very clear. I am not trying to scare anyone into getting saved. But let me clarify that. If I could scare you into it, I would do it. But it has to be the Holy Spirit. It's not me. The Holy Spirit's the one that does the talking to you this morning. I'm just saying what God would have me to say, and the Holy Spirit will work in your heart as He works in my heart. As I preach on hell this morning, I just want to give you the facts that heaven and hell, about heaven and hell. And then it will be your choice either to accept Jesus and reject hell, or to reject Jesus and accept hell, or to reject hell. Jesus makes no one get saved. You can choose to go to hell if you want to. I don't know how many times I've preached a message, and I've seen people stand up during the Song of Invitation and hold on to the back of the pew, and you could see God working with them. I've seen them with literally tears in their eyes. And then when the invitation is given, they won't come forward. They walk out of here lost. They have chosen hell over the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And that's very, very disturbing. Let me say this about hell. If you do choose to go to hell, you do so over the dead body of Jesus Christ. If you choose to go to hell, you will literally enter hell by trampling the shed blood of Jesus Christ under your feet. There are many misconceptions about hell. What do you mean? There's many false ideas about hell. Some time ago, as I was on my way home, most of the people in here know my brother Paul. He has a garage. I stopped by his garage, and there was a man sitting in there who at the time was in his mid-60s. And this guy knew that I preached and I teached. And when I walked in, he said, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure, you can ask me a question. But let me say this." At first, I thought he was teasing, but the man was dead serious. You know how it is when people know you're a Christian, they want to set you up a little bit and they want to play with you a little bit. But he wasn't. Here's the question. He said, "Richard, do you believe that hell is here on earth?" How many of you ever heard that? There are people that literally believe that hell is here on earth. Like I said, at first I thought he was just fooling with me. Then he said this, "I'm serious. I am dead serious." This is a man who professed to be saved. "Do you think hell is here on earth?" Then I responded with my own question because it started to dawn upon me what he was asking me. So I said this, "Are you wanting to know if hell is here on earth because of all the problems, because of all the heartaches, because of all the bad things that people go through?" And he said, "Yes." Then I told him, "No, I don't believe that at all." We had prayer this morning for people in our Sunday school class. A young girl, 17, just found out she's got leukemia. We know about the Ligou children. The boy, they said he probably wouldn't live to be 6 years old, has that disease. His little sister, younger than him, bedfast, with tubes run in and out of their bodies. And people think that's hell here on earth. And you know there's times that we feel like it because we are in so much anguish. But upon the authority of the Word of God, hell is not here on earth. As I said, we go through much anguish and suffering here on earth. But that is nothing compared to the suffering and the anguish that the lost will go through for an eternity in hell. Hell is not here on the earth. Hell is in the earth. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And what does God say about it? God says this morning in Amos 9:2, "Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down." Hell is down, heaven is up, just like we believe. Then, Ezekiel 32:21, "The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell with them that help him." They are gone down. They lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. This isn't me saying this. This is God Almighty. Ezekiel 32:24 says, "There is Elam and all her multitude round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which are gone down, uncircumcised, into the nether parts of the earth." Do you know what the nether parts of the earth is? That's the center part of the earth. That's where people believe that hell is. The center part. "Which caused their terror in the land of the living, yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit." People, there is a real place called hell. It's not the problems we go through here. The problems are many. I think of Jacob when he stood before Pharaoh down in Egypt. And Pharaoh said, "How old are you?" And he said, 130 are the days of my pilgrimage. Few and evil are the days of my pilgrimage. And how many of you feel like that this morning? There's some of us in here in our 70s, some in our 80s. We got here quick. Just as you young people that are sitting here, you're going to get here quick too. You're going to open your eyes one day and say, "How in the world did I get here?" I'm going to tell you how you're going to get here, one day at a time. And it moves quick. And the things that we've done for Christ will last. You know, I know preachers who teach that hell and heaven is here on earth. I know preachers that do that. I knew a Christian preacher in Camelsburg that taught that. I knew a Baptist youth minister that taught that there was no such thing as hell, that hell was here on earth. I can name you the church. I picked up a book in a Christian bookstore one time by an author who was going around. He was going to great theologians. These are people that are supposed to know the Bible, know the theology. These were theologians of our time. I'm talking about the day that we live in. Asking them if hell is a literal place. They go to these teachers and they say, "Is hell a literal place or is it a figurative place?" I don't care how many degrees they have, they are wrong, because you know what most of the people told them? That hell was figurative. That hell was not literal. Do you know how many people are going to go to hell because of that type of teaching? Now, this is an important subject this morning. Very, very important. Hell is a real place. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Why isn't it important to know about a place called hell? Why are you doing this, Brother Richard? Most of us are saved. We know about hell. Because, as I said early on, if there is no hell, there is no reason to get saved. I mean, we're just playing in here if there's no hell. If there is no hell, then Jesus Christ died that horrible death in vain. If there is no hell, then you and I are wasting our time. If there is no hell to shun and a heaven to gain, then we might as well shut the doors on this church and go home. No reason for this church to be in existence. But on the authority of the Word of God, let me say this morning that there is a hell. And people need to know about the realities of hell. So they won't want to go there if they're unsaved. And if they are saved, so that... Now, here's where we come in, Christians. So that if we're saved, if we know what hell's really like, if we could get a picture of hell, then we would have a burning desire to tell others about hell. That hell to avoid. That hell to shun. This morning, I'll try to paint a picture of hell. But people, I cannot paint a picture of the torments of hell. I can't do it justice. I can look at it from a man's viewpoint. I can look at it from what God says here in the Bible. And I'm going to try to relay to you that there is a heaven to hell, and a hell to shun, and that there is a real place called hell. I said this before. People need to know about the realities of this place so that they'll have a burning desire to tell others. Many people joke about hell. They make statements like, all my friends will be there and we'll have a big time. How many of you ever heard that? I heard it not too long ago. How many of you know someone that said that? Yeah, look at the hands go up. Yep, hell's a place of party. We're going to have a big time. All the people I know is going to be in hell, and we're going to party on. And as we were talking about this in Sunday school one time, a young married woman in the class, she raised her hand. And she kind of waved at me to get my attention. And when I looked at her, there was literally tears in her eyes. And she was a mother. She had children. She doesn't go to this church now, so no one's not going to know who I'm talking about unless you were there when this happened, and some of you were. But with a quivering voice, she said, Brother Richard, I used to believe that. I really did. My girlfriend, she had this girlfriend, she said, we would party and we'd listen to a song along those lines. In other words, they were listening to a song that backed up this thing about partying in hell. She said, I really believed in my heart that if I died, I would go to hell and there would be a big party in hell, and the party would go on and on and on forever. And then with these tears streaming down her face, she looked at me. She said, now I know that if I had died unsaved, I would have been in torment for an eternity. Boy, what a liar Satan is. He is the father of lies. The author of lies, according to the Word of God. And he had this young woman convinced that she would party for an eternity. Oh, the lies that Satan in the world tells us. Let me assure you upon the Word of God, hell is no party. It is a place of eternal torment. Now, you say, why is there a hell? Why did God create hell? Well, the answer is in the Bible, because it was first prepared for Satan and his angels. It wasn't prepared for you and me. It was prepared according to Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Here it is. Prepared for the devil and his angels. That's why hell was prepared. Then it was enlarged for the people who reject Jesus Christ. Isaiah 5:14. It tells us this. Now, as we said before, where is hell? As we've already seen in the Scriptures indicate that it's in the center of the earth. Isaiah 14:15 says this, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit." Hell is beneath, as we've said, heaven is above. For years there has been a story told of scientists drilling to the core of the earth to collect data. And in their drilling, they have heard the screams of people coming from this middle part of the earth. Now you say, that is not true. Well, I did a little research into this because Holly was talking about this very same thing this week, about the story. Well, this took place in Siberia. And you're going to believe what you want to. But there were scientists and they were drilling. And they heard these screams, human screams. They recorded them. They're on recording. And you could not convince them that they were not the screams of people. But then you've got the naysayers. You've got the people that don't want you to believe in hell. And then they're trying to tell people that that's not true, that it was a piece of equipment, it was something else. You can't convince these people that what they heard was not the screams of people in anguish and in torment. What is hell like? The Scriptures give us some insight. It is a place of fire. Matthew 18:9, "And if that eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." It is a place where the fire will never be quenched. It is an eternal fire in this place called hell. Mark 9:43, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to enter into the two hands, to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." There are people out there today, false teachers, some of them Baptists, that are teaching that there is no such thing as hell, and if there is a thing called hell, that God will not leave you there because He's the God of love. That is contrary to the Word of God. Hell was prepared for the sinner, or was prepared for the angels and enlarged for the sinner. I picture hell as a molten lake of fire where people will spend an eternity in a body that will never be able to burn up. Because if you were thrown into hell, it would just be a little poof. And you'd think your body would be gone, but God's prepared one that will not be destroyed in the lake of fire where people will spend an eternity. It will be a continual pain, continual, with no way of out. The lost, the rejecters of Christ will bob up and down in it, and it will enter into their mouth. Can you picture the molten lava flowing into the mouth, flowing into the ears, flowing into the eyes, bobbing up and down, the horrible pain for an eternity. Hell is a place where they're continually trying to claw their way out. I've got some examples. I told you I was going to try to show you as well as I can what hell is like, what we can, in our minds, deem it to be like. There's a true story. Now, these stories, I'm going to give you a couple stories here, and they're true. This is just an example. This isn't hell, but it's an example of hell. This will give you some idea of what it's like to spend an eternity in this place called hell. There was a man who worked in a chemical plant. At this plant, they had huge spheres, big round balls, if you will, in which they put chemicals. It was this man's job to go down into these spheres after they had gotten the chemicals out. And it was his job to clean this sphere. And after they were clean, they had to be absolutely dry. And so how did they do this? They put around these spheres blow torches all the way around. And they would turn it on and they'd get this sphere just as hot as they could so it would burn out the impurities or whatever it was on the inside of this sphere. Well, this guy's job was to go down and do that. Well, one day they noticed that this guy couldn't be found. And they looked, and they called his name. And finally, one of them said, "Do you think maybe he got caught down in that sphere?" Because it was his custom, after he eat, to go down there where he'd get a little rest and quiet. And then when lunch hour was over, he'd come out and go back to doing his job. Well, one day they couldn't find him. They had to wait till the sphere cooled off to where they could even touch it. That was a long time. And when they opened the top, to their horror, the man's hand was up like this. And they reached in, and when they reached in to grab him by the hand, and they pulled up, the flesh came off. And the thing that they noticed when they finally got him out was that this man had been clawing, until he had completely worn his fingers off, trying to get away from that heat, trying to get away from that thing called, he thought it was hell. But according to the Word of God, his life was over. But when we go into the eternal hell, it's just beginning. This pain, this torment is just beginning. I think of stories. How many of you ever heard stories about when for some reason they dig up a casket and they found that some people had been buried alive and how they had scraped at the bottom of that? Why do you think they embalm people? That's why. And they had scraped and scraped, trying to get out, never able to get out. And that's like it is. That's what hell is, people. It's a place of eternal torment. Hell is also a place of outer darkness. 2 Peter 2:4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment." How many of you have been to Mammoth Cave? How many of you went on one of those tours and they turned the lights out? That's what hell's like. People think they're going to see each other? Nope. Matthew 22:13 says, "Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Why are they weeping? Why are they gnashing teeth? Because they are in eternal torment. Cast him into outer darkness. Do you know what that word cast means? That word cast means to slam. Who is God going to slam into hell? The person who is lost? That person who has rejected the price Jesus Christ paid for our sin on the cross. The hottest flame is a black flame. People will say they will see their friends in hell, but that is wrong, because the hottest flame being a black flame, there is not. I'm going to tell you another reason. The only light anybody's going to see in hell is when they look up towards heaven and see for an eternity what they have missed. And we're not going to be able to look into hell, because could you imagine the eternal torment if you looked into hell and you saw your mom or your dad in hell, or a brother or sister, or a child that had gone against the Word of God, that had gone against God, and you could see them in hell? Wow. Could you imagine the torment? The torment. As we've already seen, hell's going to be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me say this. You talk about tears. There will not be enough tears in hell to put out that horrible eternal flame we have purchased for ourselves by rejecting the shed blood of Jesus Christ. People will be like rabid dogs. If they do bump into each other, they'll be snapping and biting at each other because of the pain. You say, "Are you sure people won't die in hell?" Listen to this. Matthew 9:44. "Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched," the worm refers to their eternal soul. People, I'm not saying this morning. It's God Almighty. Hell will be a place where the lost will beg to die but never die. Hell is a place of torment, flame, and sorrow. Luke 16:19 through 31 says this, There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Some people would call that hell on earth. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. He was in hell, and he seeth Abraham afar off. Remember I said that light? And Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. People that have died are in hell already. I want to show you something. That is a glass of water. I dip my finger in it. For over 2,000 years, that man has been craving that much water. Over 2,000 years, he has been in torments in a place called hell. And do you know what's going to happen? It gets even worse. Because the Bible says that one day, hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. If I could just paint a picture of hell today and what it is that we need to avoid. You know, I can remember when I was talking about looking into hell. I can remember a time in my life when my dad wasn't saved. My dad wasn't saved until later in life. I got a picture of hell. And I can remember looking back and thinking about people just bobbing up and down in that lake of fire. And it was just as real as anything. I could see my dad. I could see him bobbing up and down in a lake of fire. I called him up. I was weeping harder than I am now. And I said, Dad, won't you please get saved? You know what the problem is, people? We don't have a picture of hell. If we had a picture of hell, you and I both would be out there today beating on doors and saying, won't you please get saved? Because I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day when it's going to be too late. There's going to come a day when God closes this book. There's going to come a day when we won't be able to tell our loved ones about Jesus Christ. There's going to come a day we won't be able to tell them there's a hell to avoid. Hell is immediate. What do you mean it's immediate, Brother Richard? You know, there's a religion out there that believes in purgatory, like a holding place. There's no such thing. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says this, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If you're absent from the body and present with the Lord, if you're going to hell, then you're absent from the body and present in hell. Luke 23:42-43 says this, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. If you were to die today, would Jesus say to that to you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise? Or would he have to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I knew you not? Would he tell the angels, cast them into hell? Or if one of our loved ones died today, would Jesus say, today they'll be with me in paradise? Or would they be cast into a hell to be cast into a lake of fire? We need to be telling others about hell, people. We need to be telling others about Jesus. Another thing about hell, it's forever. There's no way out. He that believeth on the Son of God, according to John 3:36 says, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of a God abideth on him. If there is eternal life in heaven, then there is eternal death in hell. There is no way out of it. You can't reason your way out of it. You can't excuse your way out of it. That is just the way it is. I remember years ago there was a truck driver burned to death in Bedford. His name was Barry. That's his last name. Mom and Pop Barry was his, that's what we called him ever since I was a kid. They lived up the road from us. He was driving a truck and the load of steel had shifted and trapped him. As people arrived on the scene, he was trapped in that truck. He was screaming in agony because of the fire and begging the sheriff to please shoot him and get him out of his misery. There was nothing anyone could do. They could not get him out. All they could do was watch helplessly. You know, there's a religion out there that says you can pray somebody into heaven or out of hell. It doesn't work that way. And that's the way hell is. No way out. Some of the people in here, Jim and Mel, have a son. Well, my daughter's husband. He came up on an accident. Same thing. Burned to death. People screaming, please help me, please help me, get me out. But there's no way out. You know what? The only way out is Jesus. Let me end with this story by David Gibbs. Some of you have heard this before. I've used it before. But I think it's very important to give an example of what hell is like. How many of you know who David Gibbs is? He's a lawyer. He started the Christian Law Association. Very well known. And this is a true story. I say it's a true story, and people like to tease me, saying, well, would you tell a false story? Probably if I got a chance. That was a joke, people. But this is a serious subject, isn't it? David Gibbs is a lawyer for the Christian Law Association. Some of you heard this story before. It's a true story, as told by a pastor of a young man who came to the altar during the invitation desiring to be a better soul winner. I'm going to read this word for word because I don't want to mess up. There was a man who worked for a chemical company in Columbus, Ohio. One night he was giving a party for some of his friends, and as the party wore on, they became drunk. The man remembered a vial which contained a chemical. And this chemical, they used to dry out test tubes and other containers that contained water. The man, in his drunken state, thought he would impress his friends. So as he passed a sink, he took the vial. And he took a pinch of this chemical, and he threw it into the water. And immediately upon contact, it made a small explosion. Everyone jumped, and then they laughed because they thought it was funny. He decided to really impress them and throw just a little bit more in. He was going to make a bigger explosion. As he headed toward the sink, in his drunken state, he tripped and fell, throwing the whole vial in. There was a huge explosion. The chemical completely covered the man from here up. He's rushed to the hospital. He's in agony. They have him strapped to the table with four leather straps and two young men to help hold him. And as they do with every burn patient, they wash his face with sterile water. In other words, they took water and they put it on a gauze. And they wiped it across his face. The nurse put the water on the sterile pad, and as she wiped it across his face, flames went 3 feet in the air. The nurse's hand was blistered. The rag was shredded. The man is screaming, I'm in hell! Can't you hear me? Get me out! Kill me! Get me out! I've got to get out! I'm on fire! He's straining. And as he strains, his pores begin to open. Perspiration begins to surface. And with that perspiration, little blue and yellow flames began to dance about an inch or two in the air all over his face. I'm on fire! I'm in hell! I can't take it! Get me out! Now came a surgeon who realized this man could not be anesthetized. It would kill him. The surgeon realizes he must literally scalp this man's face with a surgical knife. For 2 hours, with these boys holding this man's legs, the surgeon removes layer by layer the skin from this man's face. Finally, the operating room is quiet. just like it's quiet here. These two young boys stand there shaken. And the surgeon, who is a Christian, takes off his gloves and he says, "Gentlemen, what you have just seen cannot compare to how terrible hell will be. And there will be no way out." If you're here today and unsaved, let me assure you that you don't have to go to hell. We're going to do an invitation in a minute. And if you're unsaved or you have any doubts at all, I implore you, please come and get that thing settled. You'll not be able to blame God one day when you stand in hell. All you'll be able to blame is yourself. 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing," this is the Lord, "not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It is against God's will for you to go to hell. God wants you in heaven. That's His will. Now listen to this. And here's an invitation for the saved people too. If you're here and you're saved, are you telling others how to escape from a place called hell? What is your choice this morning? Is it heaven or hell? Christians, we have a choice today. We can either tell others about Jesus and a place called hell to avoid, or we